The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. So my guest today is Angela Dawson. Angela is a missionary in Thailand, and I learned about Angela through an article in the BP News. I'll put a link to the article in the show notes. So, Angela, why missions?
When I was young, I heard a story about a people group in Papua New Guinea who had never heard the gospel, and the missionaries went there, and when the village finally heard, they just erupted in rejoicing and accepted Christ. And I wanted to be somebody who took Christ to people who had never heard before.
And how did you pick Thailand?
I actually didn't pick Thailand. I was supposed to go to Laos. But at the time when I was leaving, they didn't really know how to put people in Laos. At the time, the borders were closed, and they had a hard time keeping people in that country. And so initially, I worked with the people group that was in Thailand and Laos. So that's how I got into Thailand, to start there.
Have you had times of fear? And if so, how did the Lord help you deal with that?
I think the biggest time of fear that I had happened when I was a journeyman. I had a couple of instances where guys were trying to pick me up, I guess. And one of them came to my house in the middle of the night, drunk, and called me. And I could see him outside. And I lived alone at the time. And so I told him that it was too late and I wasn't going to come out. And the next day I told my neighbor what happened. And she told the whole neighborhood and said, watch out for her, make sure that she stays safe. And that was just an answer from the Lord that, you know, he's taking care of me and that he's going to provide for my needs. He also, one thing that I do a lot is I kind of, if I start feeling afraid about things, I think about, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen in this instance? And then I remind myself, even in that, if that happens, the Lord is still with me. I'm not alone in that. And that helps me be able to move forward and get past that.
Let's see. So you were told, according to the article, that before you became a missionary, that becoming a missionary would probably decrease your chances of getting married. What caused you to decide you wanted to still go for missions?
I came to Thailand as a journeyman, and I was here from 2006 to 2007, and the country leader was the person, I was talking to him about coming back career, and he was the person who told me that if I came back career, I probably would never get married. He told me that because there were a lot of single ladies in Southeast Asia who had been here for a long time, and some of them were really struggling with their singleness at the time. So he just really wanted me to understand what I was signing up for. So that was really hard to hear. And when there were tears when I talked to the Lord about it, but I really knew he was calling me to come back. And so I went ahead and came. And I knew that if he wanted me to get married, he could do it. But I'm thankful that that person told me that I probably wouldn't get married because it makes things easier as I'm getting older and remaining single, to know that I was warned that this would happen, and I came anyway. So I got sick. And at the time I got sick, I was in a very, very rural area. I only had one other couple as teammates, and I was really struggling with loneliness and not sure if I could continue with what I was doing just because it was so isolating. And but not really sure what else I could do. And so then I started having vertigo, and I ended up moving here to Central Thailand. When I moved here, I went on stateside right after I came here. And then I came back, and as soon as I got back, I was moving into the house. And I told my team leaders, I was like, this house is kind of big for one person. And the next day I heard the story about Ying. Ying's mother had come to my team leader, Doug, and said, can you just take my daughter? She's such a burden to me. Can you just take her? And wow. Doug was like, she said this in front of her daughter. And Doug was wow. like, yes. And so he came home and his wife was like, what are you going to do? That's a horrible idea. She can't stay with us because his wife traveled, Cheryl travels, and Doug can't be in the home alone with this little girl that's 15. And so, or 14. And so he said, well, we'll put her in our housing for our volunteers. And she's like, she's a 15-year-old girl. She can't live alone. But what else were they going to do? So I heard about, I got here on Friday and I heard about it Saturday. And so Sunday we're on the way to church and the girl was moving in after church on Sunday.
Wow.
And I was thinking about it and I just felt such a burden for her in this story. And so I finally told Doug, I said, I think she can stay with me if that's okay with you. And he was like, thank you. So she was the first person to move in with me. And then another girl a week later moved in. Her name was Ploy, and they were in the same class. Ploy, it was during their school summer break, and Ploy's parents had sent her to work at a truck stop as a 15-year-old girl. It was not a safe environment. And so she's incredibly shy and so and timid. And so she got on a bus and came home, and her dad beat her because she wasn't making money for him. And so she came and lived with me. And the two girls worked as interns. We have a women's outreach that we do. They make handicrafts that are like Christmas ornaments that we sell. And so they did an intern so they could have some income to give to their families. And then Anne came, and Anne was just such a crass girl. She was very impolite. She swore a lot. I don't really know Thai swear words, but I was told that she uses bad language. She used bad language. She was really mean to other kids. Like, she liked to be the center of attention. She got jealous easily. If she lost, she's very athletic, and if she'd get mad if they lost, you know, just she wasn't very fun for me to be around, and I wasn't drawn to her when I first met her. But she was friends with Ying, and Ying was staying with me, and so I invited her to come over for like a weekend summer party. Like, she'd come after school on Friday and then go home after church on Sunday. And so she came, and that one invitation she took as, I can come over anytime I want. So she just started coming and staying with me randomly at different times. And I let her, you know, and she started to change. And then, so a year later, we were having a camp, and my church had come to help with the camp. It was an overnight camp that we do with youth in the area. And my missions pastor was sharing about the story of the prodigal son. And he called Ann up on stage and he took off his watch and he said, just like God wants to give you salvation, you just have to receive it. I want to give you this watch. All you have to do is receive it. And she took it, and she looked totally shocked, like, what? And after church, she said, this morning I told my friend, I need to get a watch, but I don't know how I'm going to get a watch because I don't have any money. Her family is very poor. They don't eat three meals a day. And so she's like, how am I going to get a watch? And then missions pastor gave her the watch, and she said, that's when I knew that God knew who I was and cared about me. And it took her about 4 or 5 days before she actually prayed to receive Christ. but she's a believer now. She's the only believer in her high school. And it's just amazing to see how God has changed her from this really difficult person to be around to a leader in her classroom and outspoken for the Lord. And then the Ying and Poi, after about 7 months, they said they were going to go home to visit their families. And they went home and then they got on a bus and went to another province. And their families didn't know where they were. And they wouldn't answer their phones. We finally found out where they were. But after that, they never moved back in. Ying actually never came back. She dropped out of school. She decided she wanted to have a relationship with another girl. And so she didn't want to be a part of our work anymore. And then that few months later, I heard about a girl who was coming. I actually had met her. She was coming from Isan, from an area I actually used to live, to work as a nanny. And they didn't really have a place for her to stay except for by herself, which in Thailand, it's not very typical for girls to live by themselves. So I told my supervisor she could move in with us. And so she moved in. At the time, I didn't have anyone living with me. And then she moved in. No, I had one other girl. Brain moved in right before Christmas that year. Her grandfather was a believer, so she grew up in a Christian environment, but her grandmother was an alcoholic and they raised her. And her dad and her mom didn't have anything to do with her. And her grandmother would yell at her and scream at her while she was drunk. And Bram was trying to study to get into college. They have to take some really hard tests to get into college here. So she was studying for that. And so she asked if she could move in just until she got into college so that she could study. And she's still living with me 3 years later. So those are the stories of the girls who live with me. Noi, the girl who came from Isan, was a new believer. And she was very timid when she got here, very shy, kind of like not sure what she thought about living with a person from America. But she's just blossomed so much. She now works at the clinic that we have. And we do mobile clinics when there's not a COVID problem. And she shares every day on mobile clinic. She sits and shares the gospel with each patient, one after another. And she's led several people to the Lord. So it's just really been fun to see her come from this timid, quiet girl to somebody who shares her faith boldly with the Lord. So it's just really fun having the girls here. We often read the Bible together at night and talk about what speaks to us out of the chapter we read. I just really enjoy having them around. They're good kids. So.
Kind of like, I think it's Mark 10 where Jesus said, if you give up father and mother and children and those things for the kingdom, that you'll get them in some way too. So the Lord's given you children in a different way than we would have imagined.
Yeah, and my nickname here is Mother. For all the at the high school, they all call me Mom. At the in the local area church, all the kids call me Mom. So it's just an interesting. Usually for single women, they call them Aunt. They don't call them Mom. So it's just really interesting how God's changed even what that with being called Mom is. It's been really.
That's really special, isn't it?
Special, yeah.
It is interesting to look back through church history and see how faithful Jesus has been to keep the promise he made in Mark 10. If you'd like to contact Angela, send me an email and I will be happy to forward it on to her. My email is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. Also, Angela mentioned a video that impacted her decision to go into missions. I'm putting a link to that video in the show notes so you can watch it yourself. Until next time, May Jesus bless you with fruitfulness, and remember, don't waste your singleness, because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.